Just the way it is. Well, you guys, my name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and you are here at a very special time because we're going to pull out an old Catalyst tradition that we started at the beginning, back when we started this church 9 years ago. We did something in the summers. We did what's called 10-minute sermons. One of the reasons we did this was in the book, Why Men Hate Going to Church, David Murrow said that men have shorter attention spans, and if you want to attract men to church, put on their home of the 10-minute sermon. So we thought we'd test that out. What if we were to do that? I got a clap back there. Somebody clapped. That's awesome. George Burns said a good sermon has a good introduction and a good conclusion, and they're as close together as possible. There we go. I actually got an amen. That's great. But so what we did, people actually were a little worried about that. Well, you're watering down theology, you know, this kind of thing. Well, Jesus' longest sermon was about 12 minutes long. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, you can read it in about 12 minutes. Most of Jesus' sermons were about 30 seconds long. They were short stories called parables, and that's why they stuck in people's minds. So we are going to do that, and the deal is between me and the congregation, the way this works is there's going to be a 10-minute countdown on the screen, and if that hits zero, whether I'm done or not, the band's going to start playing. And so the goal of the guys back in that sound booth is to catch me, is to try to cut me off, and it's only happened one time in Catalyst history. And so that's what the deal is. But this entire summer, June and July, we'll be doing 10-minute sermons. And what we found is that people remember about the same amount between a 10 and a 30-minute sermon. So if you guys go ahead and put the countdown on the screen, we will go ahead and get started. All right. Guys, I read an article about the rise of a new kind of church. It's called the Sunday Assembly. It started less than 2 years ago in England and now has more than 60 congregations all around the world. 25 more congregations are expected to launch this next year. Sunday Assembly is growing especially quickly in the United States, where congregations have formed in 17 cities. At a Sunday Assembly, church members come together to sing songs, hear a speaker, and reflect on their lives. Outside of church, they have small groups, they have volunteer opportunities, book clubs, a choir, etc. Their motto is, live better, help often, and wonder more. So what's unique about this kind of church? Well, it's a church of atheists. Fascinated, the article says this, I'm fascinated by this rise of atheist churches. I think there's something very important lesson Christian parents can take from it. Not just Christian parents, but Christians. We have to make sure our kids or ourselves are attracted to Jesus and not just the church. Humans are built for relationships. He said, we desire community. We desire to help others. We desire to live a good life and find meaning in what we do. All things that can be found in church. Christians believe these desires are given to every person because of God. That means church is a place where people can fill a God-given need for our kids or ourselves, whether they believe in Him or not. And the risk is that they'll mistake the partial fulfillment for the sum of everything they spiritually need. Bart Campolo, the son of well-known Christian pastor and speaker Tony Campolo, made the news a few years ago because of his deconversion from Christianity. In the interview, he described how as a teenager he was drawn by the sense of community and the common commitment to love people, promote justice, and transform the world. He commented, all the dogma and the death and resurrection of Jesus stuff was not the attraction. Church, not Jesus, was the attraction. So here's a question, Catalyst Christian Church. What's the attraction here? What is the difference between us and the atheist church? What's being lifted up here? Well, in John chapter 8, 28, it says this. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father's taught me. Jesus said, when I am lifted up. Get this. When I'm lifted, not if. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, speaking of Himself. Now, He was speaking of being lifted up on the cross physically, but also being lifted up in praise. So here's the main point, people. Every thought, every action, everything you do, you'll either lift up Jesus to be killed, or you'll be lift up Jesus to be king. Everything. Everyone lifts Jesus up, but we either lift Jesus up by our sin, causing Him to be crucified, or we lift Him up by our worship. See, our sin is what put Jesus on the cross. That's the gospel, okay? And so every thought, every action, every word lifts Jesus up. Just how is He being lifted up? Is He being lifted up as king, or is He lifted up to being killed? See, guys, here's the situation. We're in a five-act play. This is what we have to. We have a five-act play. Act one, God creates the world. Okay? Act two, we blow it. We screw it up. Sin enters the world. Okay? Act three, Jesus arrives on the scene and takes away the sin of the world. All right? Act five, Jesus returns and is glorified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's exalted, lifted up. That's Act 5. What we are living in right now is Act 4. It's known as the Act of the Church. All right? Currently Act 4. And we have a choice of, during this Act 4, before the return of Jesus, how we lift him up. Are we going to lift him up to be killed? We're going to lift him up as King. That's the question. Okay? So John 12:32, Jesus says this, "And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So church, are we lifting up Jesus in such a way that people are being drawn to him? Not to the church, but to Jesus. Are we doing that? Are we living in such a way that Jesus is lifting up to be King? See guys, this is what happens when Jesus is lifted up by us, by the church, by the Christians. This is what happens. This is what happens. The first thing, there are five things that happens as part of this church. When we as a church, as Catholic Christian Church, lift up Jesus. Number one, reaching lost people in our community will be of the utmost importance. And reaching men is the best way to reach the family. If we're lifting up Jesus, we will accomplish that first priority. That lost people, people without Christ, people that do not have Jesus, will come and meet an amazing Savior here and will grow and become followers of him. That's the first thing that happens when we are lifting him up. That doesn't happen in an atheist church. The second thing that happens is that every Christian begins making disciples. Our second priority is every Christian is called to make disciples who are able to make disciples. That's what happens when we lift up Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we turn and make other followers of Jesus. That is not an option, church. That is our responsibility. And if Jesus is being lifted up, that's naturally going to happen. Okay? Because he said, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw people to myself. The third thing that happens when Jesus is lifted up is that not only do we make disciples, we make other churches. Church planting takes on an entirely new passion. Church planting, the best way to reach lost people and grow the kingdom. That's the third thing that happens when Jesus is lifted up. We will have the motivation and the desire to plant other churches like Catalyst to go reach other people that are unreached. Studies show that about 80 to 90% of new people that come to a church that is less than 3 years old are non-Christian people. Church is over 15 years old. The people that come, most 80 to 90%, are from other churches. So that's the best way to reach people and see Jesus glorified. The fourth thing is that we're thinking multiplication and reproduction. We're always looking, how do we take this message out? How do we take this message out and reproduce it other places? That's what happens when Jesus is being lifted up and not just the church. The fifth thing is that we make reproducing gospel communities here, near, and far. That's what happens when we are lifting up Jesus here in Nicholsville, Central Kentucky, near in the United States of America, and far to the ends of the earth. We'll be influential. That's what happens when we lift up Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lifting up Jesus as King is both easier than you could imagine and harder than you could ever dream. It's both easier than you ever imagine and harder than you could have ever dreamed. Suppose I try to run a store. I know nothing about it. I get the books messed up. This is very possible. I don't know how to buy or sell. I don't know. Things are just a dreadful mess. Let's say that is the situation I find myself in. I'm trying to run a store. Well, then I turn the whole business over to another who knows what he's doing. And to own and to manage. And I only become a clerk in the store that I used to own. Okay? I'm an hourly employee. Mind you, I'm as busy as ever, but I've changed my responsibility. The care, the upkeep, the management, all that is now the owner's concern and not mine. All that is now the owner's concern. My part is simply to be a faithful clerk. Well, that's what the Christ life is, you guys. That's what it means to lift Jesus up. We're trying to do life on our own, and we're failing and struggling around, and things are not being moved in a coherent direction and a good direction. That's what's going on. And then all of a sudden, we turn our lives over to Jesus. We turn this church over to Jesus, and we just become hourly employees. The management, the upkeep, the mission, all that's his, and we just are faithful. This Christ's life is simply turning over the little shop of life, so woefully perplexing, over to another. Christ becomes the owner, the manager, the overseer. His is the responsibility, the upkeep. Your part is to be the faithful clerk, to be engaged in his mission. That's your part. A steward over the grace of God. And one day, if you've been faithful over a few things, he will give you a heavenly shop in the city of the King. Guys, that's what happens when Jesus says, when I am lifted up. But we're either going to lift him up to be glorified, or we're going to lift him up to be crucified. So how in the world are you lifting up Jesus today? That's the question. That's the question I want on every person's mind. What are your thoughts, your actions, our actions as a church, your engagement with this church? You're either lifting up Jesus to be glorified, or you're lifting up to be crucified all over again. I'm going to invite the band to come on back up. We just sang praises to the one who has conquered death. I say we continue in our praise and lift him up to be glorified, not up to be crucified. Every thought, every action, everything that this church does, that you do personally, is lifting Jesus up. So I want you to examine your life. Are you engaged in the mission of Christ? Are you lifting him up to be glorified? Are you lifting him up to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords? That's the question that needs to sit on this church today. And I want to invite you to stand up, and we're going to continue our praise and worship, and this is the time to lift Jesus up as Lord and Savior.